Good evening. I'm Steve Evans with News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. John Curtis is in the Uinta Basin today and has dropped by the Evans Family Media Studios for a visit. This will be his last time he will be in the basin as our congressional representative and the first time since being elected as our new U.S. Senator. John Curtis will become Utah's senator after taking the seat being vacated by Mitt Romney on January 3rd. Welcome to the Uinta Basin, John Curtis.
Steve, it is just a delight to be with you. As we were pulling up, I remember 2 years ago, our first visit. It has been almost 2 years ago when I first came here, and you've been so kind and generous to let me share my thoughts on with your listeners, and I'm happy to be here today.
Well, I think I can speak on behalf of most of the people in the Uinta Basin that we're very, very happy with the job that you've done with us. You've always carried the elections very strongly here.
Thank you.
And we appreciate all that you've done for our economy and for our community. Challenges facing the United States during and immediately after the transition to President Trump taking office, pretty intense. Let's begin with the confirmations. What are your feelings about the confirmations?
So we are we have dozens and dozens and dozens of Trump nominees. It's stunning the pace at which he's nominated.
It's not just the high profile ones you're seeing in the media.
I mean it's dozens of them. And as a matter of fact, Speaker Thune has scheduled us almost nonstop in Washington D.C. I don't really come back for more than just a Saturday Sunday until April, and it's
you're pretty much going to be living there.
It's pedal to the metal. Because these nominations are important. And, you know, it's actually a really interesting subject because what is the Senate's role in these nominations? There are some who would suggest, hey, you just do whatever the president wants. But I tend to view this more as we're on a team with the president and we need to be helpful to him with his nominations. That means at the appropriate time, if we see things that he doesn't see, we need to bring him up.
Right.
And so some people who just want to see his vote for everything, I would respond and say, hey, he'll get who he wants, but that doesn't mean the Senate shouldn't play a thoughtful role in being a team member with him and getting the exact people that are right for him.
Is it the term advice and consent? So you should advise him if you see something wrong and then also give your consent.
Yes, and that's in the Constitution. This is our constitutional responsibility. And I think both of those are important roles. It's not just consenting and not giving our advice, and it's not just giving our advice and not consenting. We should give both our advice and then our approval to his selections.
Middle East conflicts. I mean, the Middle East is just blown up. Sorry for the pun, but
no,
I mean, it has with Syria and with Lebanon and Hezbollah and what's happening with Hamas. Real opportunity here if it's done right.
What are
your feelings?
Yeah, my feelings are it's so important to have a strong leader. And President Trump, they learned from his first 4 years. Don't assume that President Trump won't act. And I think you're already seeing changes over there based upon President Trump being elected. For instance, Hamas is giving concessions that they weren't giving before. Mm-hmm. And I think that's indicative of the world knowing, hey, we have somebody that we can't push around.
Do you think we can bring an end to the conflict during his administration?
We need to. We absolutely need to. This is, it's gone on too long. And I absolutely believe President Trump will play a critical role in bringing this to an end as quickly as possible.
Let's move to another part of the planet, Ukraine and the peace negotiations there. Do you anticipate us bringing an end to this bloody conflict that's been going on for over 2 years now?
President Trump said he'll do it on day one, and I have no doubt he's already working on it. Now, it's a heavy lift to actually do it on day one. We'll
right.
see. But listen, he's going into office knowing that we've lost too many lives there. And I would add to that too that President Putin has been aggressive with a peaceful nation, and I believe President Trump will be very quick to put this to an end, and it'll be interesting to see how it all falls out. But I think all of the world would like to see the bloodshed stop.
Clearly, President Trump received a mandate from the American people to secure our borders. And to make sure we understand and know who the people are here and to get rid of those that are going to cause us harm. What are your feelings about border security and deportation? Is this going to be there's going to be many human interest tragic stories that are going to come from this deportation process.
I like to make things simple. Let me just simplify this. I think on day one, you're going to see the border closed. And I don't think it's going to take President Trump many more days to end this craziness of anybody walking across that border that wants to walk across that border. we saw in his first administration that he knows how to do that, and he'll have the support of Congress to do that. It's going to start with some executive orders, no doubt, things like Remain in Mexico. I don't know if that's exactly what the president will do, but I'm sure you'll see some action that will drastically stop the flow of people coming across the border. So that's mission number one. Before we do anything else, that's mission number one. Mission number two is when it comes to deportation, look, there's some things we can all agree on. We've got people in our prisons who have broken not just some laws, but serious laws, and they need to be the first to be deported.
Would they be deported, or would they continue to serve their time in the U.S.?
I think you deport them, right? Why are we asking U.S. taxpayers to bear that burden?
So they would be free?
No. You deport them into the respective
penal system in their
correct,
countries.
In their countries. Number two, there are people who have broken serious laws that aren't in our institutions that we need to figure out who they are and take care of them. Now, you're right. Beyond that, let's take care of things that we can all agree on, Republican, Democrat, right, we can all agree on. Now, we will have a thoughtful conversation about where to go from here. Mm-hmm. It is very, very complicated. What do we do with a father who's here, who's broken the laws, but it's not documented, of course, broke that law, but has U.S. children here with U.S. citizenship and a U.S. wife, and he's holding a job for 20 years.
Right.
Those are hard questions, right? And I do think that we need to come up with solutions to those. But I think before we even get there, there's a lot that we can do that all of America can agree on.
Okay. First priorities, first 100 days in office. Let's look forward to a little bit. That brings a smile to your face, and I like that.
I know. We just met with our team on Monday in a little bit of retreat, and it is so exciting what is out there for us. And we need to land on our feet. We need to get staffed. We need to get our office. We need to get computers. We need to get business cards. But we're far more aggressive than that. We want to do some serious work with permitting reform to free up the resources we have, particularly here in the basin. That's on our clearly on our 100-day list.
Do you have congressional support for that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there are meetings probably going on close to 24/7 right now between the House and the Senate, and I hope they're actually getting very close on that. I know that in talking with some of them, we've made some real progress on that, so I'm very optimistic on that. And in addition, some of the things that you and I have mentioned, the nominations, getting the president's agenda going, getting the issues at the border fixed, it gives us a lot to do in those 100 days. And the reality of it is, for not just 100, but for 1,000 days, we're all going to be just very, very busy carrying out what the American people spoke very loudly about in November. It's very clear.
The American people, I think, are a little bit insecure with our military readiness and our homeland security. I mean, we have a fleet of drones that are pretty much, if you don't mind me using the term, invading the United States. We have no idea whether they're friendly or friends or foe. And the government isn't telling us.
So you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the Revolutionary War, where the British soldiers would walk out in the open field and march, and we'd stand behind trees and shoot at them. This is a different world we're going into. And if we try to fight wars like we have always fought them, we're going to be like the British. And so this is a time, and it's not just the military. It's all these institutions that people are losing trust in. This is a time, and I think one of the things that people are expecting the president to do is bring back confidence in these institutions and confidence in our military that they can protect us, that this massive amount of money that we're spending is being spent wisely and carefully. And if it's not an F-35 that we need, let's get what it is that we need, and let's make sure whether it's drones or anything else that we can protect ourselves. And I meet with Pete Hegseth next week. He's the nominee.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, I do. And you better believe these are questions I'm going to ask him. Like, mm-hmm. If you're given this nod, tell me what you're going to do so my residents in the Uinta Basin don't have to worry about drones. They don't have to worry about these things.
Or balloons.
We saw that with the Chinese, yeah. And so I have some tough questions, right? And
good.
And I think it's important that he's ready to answer those questions. I think doing things like we've always done them is not gonna take us to where we need to go.
Homeland Security, isn't that Tulsi Gabbard?
Tulsi is the intel.
Okay.
And
it's confusing.
It is. Yeah. There's a lot of names, a lot of positions coming at us very quickly.
Energy independence.
Yes.
Tell us about that in the first 100 days. What can be done?
Yeah. So, as you know, this has been a big thing to me and why it's been such an honor to represent the basin. there is a narrative out there, you know, that people are anti the fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. And I think my message that I've been shouting from the housetops, and I think is being heard not just here locally, but in not even in the state, but in the nation and around the world, or is that what you do here in the basin is not the problem. It's actually part of the solution. And we need to maintain not just energy independence. We need to be energy dominant. And that will come in fossil fuels from the United States, which, by the way, are produced radically cleaner than they are in other parts of the world. That will come from the new geothermal that's down by the Cedar City area that's very, very exciting for Utah. It'll come in nuclear. I know our state leaders want to embrace nuclear as well. And I think as a state, the governor has challenged us to double our energy output in 10 years. And I kind of like to smile and say, Governor, we need to double it every year for 10 years. And I think Utah's up for the task. And you can imagine how valuable that will be for our economy, not just in Utah, but in the United States. And we need to dominate this energy around the world. So to be more specific on your question, what are we going to do in 100 days? Let me come back to this permitting reform, because the single biggest thing holding us back is the inability to get projects going.
Okay. You know, that brings us segueing into energy transportation. The biggest problem that we have is not the supply of energy. It's the transportation means to get it out of the Uinta Basin.
How about a railroad?
How about that? Yeah. How about that? What are your impressions of the Supreme Court hearing Tuesday?
Well, I happened to be in Washington and had the pleasure of talking with a number of the commissioners from this area and mm-hmm. some of the legal team from this area that came by both before and after the Supreme Court hearings. I'm not a lawyer, but I think it bodes well for the basin. And I think, you know, the reality of it is in law, a lot of times this isn't black or white. It may not be yes or no. It may be yes under these conditions, right, or no, but if you fix this, then yes. And I know that's still a way oversimplification, but I think there's some reason to be optimistic. And I am very much looking forward, as all of you are, to hear what the Supreme Court says about this.
It seems to me like the NEPA process has been abused.
Yeah, so listen, I think this is important for Republicans. We don't oppose NEPA standards. We oppose the abuse, or another way to say that is the weaponization of NEPA. Mm-hmm. And NEPA is not being used the way it was intended, by the way, by Republicans who put this into law, Richard Nixon in that era. Because Republicans want clean water. Right. We want clean air, right? We don't want to destroy the place that we live. But when you use those rules to weaponize them, and the railroad case is a really good example of this, it's going way beyond what the intention of this was when we put it into law. And that's why all of us are hoping the Supreme Court reins this in.
One quick question on this subject. The project will likely require new permitting. Will you, can we have your word that you will help us with the new permitting required?
Yeah, as a Boy Scout, I'd raise my arm and say yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You know me, Steve. I'm absolutely interested.
I mean, that's putting your feet to the fire.
That's
right.
We're going to pull out the Boy Scout card.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. As Utah's senator, newest senator, how do you feel that you can best serve the citizens of the Uinta Basin, Utah, and the Uinta Basin while in office? What committees are you aspiring for, and possible leadership positions?
Sure.
What area do you want to go?
Yeah. Let me first of all say, mission number one is you show up. And I think this is what the Uinta Basin has gotten to know from me, is that I will show up. And I'm really pleased that Congressman Mike Kennedy will be kind of my sidekick, and I'll be his sidekick. I think you're going to see a really good team from the two of us, and that you'll find some synergy by us working together. And I think as the basin gets to know Representative Kennedy, they're going to be pleased and realize that they too have somebody that will be here a lot. So showing up, number one. Number two, working in a way in Washington, D.C. that puts me and my team in a position to be helpful. So that begins with committee assignments. Now, Mike Lee will chair ENR, that's Energy and Natural Resources. Really important committee for the state, and one I would quite frankly like to be on, but it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to go there if Mike Lee is there. So we've picked a parallel committee. It's Environment and Public Works, that also will be really valuable for the state, and actually a really good kind of team member to Mike Lee on these issues of public lands, of water and air, and some of the things that we've been talking about today. So I've let the leadership know back there that is a high target for me and a high priority, and I think I'll be successful in landing on that, as well as commerce. And there's a lot of issues in the state dealing with commerce, and quite frankly, as the Olympics come up, the Commerce and the EPW committees that I just mentioned will be really important committees for the Olympics as well. Other committees as well that will play out and see what assignments I get. But I want the residents of the basin to know as I'm picking these committee assignments, I'm thinking about them.
Finally, I want to kind of wrap up on a positive tune. I read that you and your wife had an opportunity to either take a plane flight back to Washington, D.C., but you and your wife, Sue, took a road trip across America. Why?
Oh, if you want to reorient yourself, get in the car and drive across the country. And it was such a great kind of therapy and a reset in many ways. First of all, just to spend the time with my wife, which I don't get to do a lot. Second, to drive across this great country. And of course, the beauty everywhere you go and to drive across this country. I even like the people kind of tease you and you go across Nebraska and Kansas. It's just miles and miles and flat. But to me, it was beautiful. But in addition to the natural beauty, it puts you in touch with the people, the truck stops and the farms and things like that. And it really reorients you to, I think, the reasons that President Trump won this election. And, it's interesting. So this was just a couple of days after the election that we were driving back. People weren't talking Republican or Democrat. People were talking border, immigration, inflation. And you could see in their eyes walking into grocery stores, like, how am I going to make these decisions? And that's why there was such a loud outpouring in this presidential election that surprised a lot of people. And I'll tell you what, if you get in your car and you drive across this country, you won't be surprised by what happened by this election. And you'll see that we have work to do in Washington. And maybe we should require all of my colleagues, right, to get in that car and drive. And I think they'll be more motivated to put America in the place where these very, very good people expect it to be.
Open house tonight. Tell us about that.
Yeah, part of my hallmark is I like to do these open houses. So we'll be at UB Tech at 5:30. And people come by, they'll have an opportunity to meet with me. And we also have some one-on-one opportunities for short little discussions with me. And I hope to see everybody there.
Again, that's 5:30 at the Roosevelt UB Tech conference room, and we all know where that is on Lagoon.
Yes.
Street, right?
So, yeah.
All right. John Curtis, Senator-elect John Curtis, thank you. I'm excited for you.
We're excited, Steve, for
the state of Utah and for our country.
Yeah, and thank you for giving me this voice on your station and to your listeners. Thank you for your support. The Basin was very, very supportive in my recent election. I won't forget that, and I just want you to know I appreciate you.
You're always welcome. You have an open invitation to come on the air anytime you want to speak, and we'll, of course, get the word out for you.
Thanks, Steve. All right.
John Curtis, Senator-elect for Utah's Senator, U.S. Congress. We appreciate him for taking time to come in and visit with us. I'm Steve Evans with News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVL. Thanks for joining us.